I asked myself, how can I, in the short space of a little over a half an hour, concentrate all that needs to be said about Christ's promise to send the Spirit as our teacher and guide? And I decided, I hope not wrongly, to speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. First, of those gifts that have to do with the mind, and then those that have to do with the will. We are now dealing with those that have to do with the mind. The third of these is the gift of knowledge. It is sometimes called, and this is, by the way, the general term in ascetical literature, the science of the saints. This enables us, through some form of relish and warmth of charity. By the way, this is a favorite phrase of St. Ignatius, where he tells people, especially those who are making the spiritual exercises, to not be in a hurry to go on, say, to the next point, if you follow that method of meditation, or to the next verse in Scripture on which you are meditating. As long as you find relish in what you are reflecting on, stay there. Don't be in a hurry to go on. Because if you do go on in hurry because of human curiosity or impatience, you deprive the Holy Spirit of, well, the opportunity of effecting in your soul that which he wants to do, where he is exercising his gift of knowledge. Where you find satisfaction in what you are reflecting on, stay there. Don't go on. What is the function of this extraordinarily useful, if I might say, gift of the Spirit? It enables us to judge everything from a supernatural point of view. It is, to use a favorite expression of not a few saints, to see everything, even the least trifle, from the vantage point of eternity. So I have a trial, or I have a satisfying experience. So this gift prompts us, and that's what the gifts do, prompts us immediately to ask ourselves, well, but what relationship does this have to eternity? If it's a trial or a suffering, well, my relationship with eternity, this is passing. This will go away. Eternity is everlasting. Or if it's, say, a temptation to some kind of sinful enjoyment, by this gift of knowledge, we immediately, instinctively ask ourselves, and we are prompted to act on the knowledge, why should I indulge this pleasure or this sinful satisfaction when I realize, and this gift gives us the realization, that I jeopardize my heavenly happiness? It is closely tied in, and you might say is almost like the lesson that another person gains from maybe years of experience, for which we say there is no substitute, Not so. There is the supernatural substitute. All this needs to be said. The supernatural substitute, or if you wish, equivalent, for natural experience is the gift of knowledge. That's why even young people can be very holy and, psychologically speaking, very mature. As I have warned superiors and directors of souls, not to judge that just because a person is young and therefore lacks experience, therefore they are necessarily immature. Not so. Not so. The Holy Spirit can and often does make up for natural experience. If you wish, the gift of knowledge is the supernatural gift of maturity. And he is master of his gifts. And as I've seen, and it is common knowledge, people after years, say in the religious life, still lacking the kind of maturity that a young novice can possess. And the Catholic Church, just to make sure that we know it, went to the trouble of canonizing a novice. Do you know whom? Saint Stanislaus. A warning to all novice masters until the end of time. God is master. He does things that, well, those who don't have the gift or don't have it as much as others do may be struggling with after 40 years. He can confer in an instant. And if there is one thing which these gifts of the Spirit should teach us, it is the great importance of begging him to not confer these gifts, we have them, but to fructify them, because he can do in a moment what we might not be able to do after a lifetime of effort. Finally, the gift of counsel. This is the fourth of the gifts which have to do with developing the mind through divine inspiration. Here it assists the mind and perfects the virtue of prudence by enlightening us on how to decide and put into practice supernatural activity, which we know we've got to practice to please God. This gift of counsel has two forms to it. The first refers primarily to that instinctively prudent conduct in our own case. In other words, and I think this needs saying, the gift of counsel is not just for others. In fact, it is not primarily for others. It is primarily for ourselves. And secondly, of course, also in favor of other people. Its function is to prompt us to do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, supernaturally, without laborious study or reflection. Enlightened by the Spirit with this gift, a person knows what to do immediately, and where it concerns others, what advice to give them when consulted, or if he or she is an authority, to command when needed. Needless to say, this is a priceless gift. Implicit in this gift of the Holy Spirit is the fact that, naturally speaking, our reason, left to itself, cannot grasp, how could it, all the facets of any given situation which confronts us, or on which we are either asked to give advice, or if we are in authority, to tell those under authority what to do. How could we possibly see all the implications, all the nuances, all the details? Can't be done. Yet we've got to act. Or if we are asked for advice or bidden to tell someone what to do, action must be taken. Evidently, our native reason, no matter how perspicacious it may be, needs the help of God, who alone comprehends all things. He sees all the details, and not only sees all the facts now present in the situation on which I am either to act or advise someone else to act, but he also sees what's going to happen with all the thousand possible, and maybe more than thousand possible, results that will follow if, say, this course of action is taken, that will follow. If another decision is made, that will follow. What human mind could possibly foresee? Notice, it is not only know all the facts, but foresee all the consequences of a decision regarding these facts. Who else but God? Speaking of this interior guide, St. Augustine says that in the last analysis, the one who teaches us is not the one who immediately gives the counsel. Even we ourselves, to ourselves, but truth, capitalized, that presides within, over the mind. Though it may have been words in the form of advice that prompted us to make such consultation, the one caps consulted, who dwells in the inner man, he it is who finally teaches us all things. It follows then that it is consummately important for those who are going to give counsel or advice, and more so still, command to others, be personally very near to God. The interior counselor, who is Christ, the Spirit of Christ, will advise them on how to advise others, but only on condition that they themselves are very near to God. Summarily, after this longer than usual conference, let's ask our divine Savior, who sent us the Holy Spirit, not only in infusing the virtues that we possess for our purpose, the virtue of faith, but who has given us these extraordinary gifts which correspond to instincts, that we might not only appreciate what he gave us, which was after all the main purpose of my sharing these ideas with you, that we might appreciate the gifts we possess, but that we might, because we appreciate them, use them. Because what good is it, frankly, to have received these gifts of wisdom and understanding, of knowledge and counsel? The great divine quadrad, which enables our faith to know what we are to do always to please God, unless being so gifted, we put into practice what we have received. You see, it's not only that we have been so blessed by God in being enabled with these gifts to act readily, easily, promptly, and with joy in response to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit within us, we also must have the generosity to put these inspirations into action. And here, I don't know how many times I have said this, but it needs constant repetition. Though we are so gifted, we must still ask and keep asking. Hence the importance of constant prayer, that we might use what God gave us. Because rich as we are, without the constant influx of the grace of God, which comes only in answer to prayer, we can, and with this I close, so gifted, so rich in spirit, we can die of starvation unless we feed our souls on what we possess. Let us ask the Savior to help us appreciate and use the Spirit of Truth that Christ gave us as the great gift after his ascension to the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.